Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Sunday Math Circle. Thank you all for coming. Before we start, one piece of information. If you're interested in the AMC 8 for this semester, we now have a time. It's from 6:30 to 8 on Tuesday, November 18th, and that information is on our website. So if you're interested, we now know exactly when and where it will be. And that said, without further ado, here's Julia Bennett talking about binary numbers and infinity.
Hi, guys. Thanks for coming today. My name's Julia. I'm a graduate student here at UT Austin. And today I want to talk to you about two things. I want to talk to you guys about binary numbers and different sizes of infinity. So let me start by asking, does anyone know what it means to be infinite? Yeah?
It means to never stop.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Anyone else have any other descriptions? Yeah?
Immeasurable.
Immeasurable. Yeah, certainly you can't measure things that are infinite. I totally agree. Anyone else? Yeah?
If something is an infinitely long time, it's never going to, it's an infinitely long amount of time is pretty much forever.
Yeah, so I think you guys are all saying very similar things, right? Infinite means it never stops. So the way that I think about infinite is if you try and count something, you're never going to be able to stop counting and have counted all of it. Does that sort of make sense? That's like the intuitive idea of infinite. Let's do one more thing. Can anyone tell me an example of something that's infinite? That's a little harder, maybe? Yeah?
The number line.
The number line. That is a great example. We'll come back to that. Anyone else? Yeah? You haven't talked yet?
The universe?
I'm not a physicist. I think that might still be unknown. I think that physicists are still trying to figure out anyone know the answer? If the universe is infinite? I don't know. But that's a good, you should become a physicist and answer that question. Yeah?
The numbers between 1 and 2.
Great. That's interesting. You guys should think about that. The numbers between 1 and 2 are infinite. There are infinitely many numbers between 1 and 2. Let's get one more. Someone who hasn't talked yet. Yeah?
Number p.
Say that again.
Number pi.
Yeah, the number of digits in pi, right? It's what's called, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's what's called a transcendental number, and that's why it has infinitely many digits. No matter how you try and write it. Cool, so I think we all have sort of an intuitive definition of infinity, and I wanted to start with that. But what I want to do today is it's going to be two parts. So our primary goal is going to be to show that there are two different sizes of infinity. So we're going to need to rigorously define what it means for things to be two different sizes, and for things to be infinite, and then we're going to prove there are at least two of them. But as a warm-up exercise, I want to spend the first half of today talking about binary numbers, because it's really related to this idea. And then the second half, I want to talk about what it means to be a set and what it means for two sets to be the same size. And you guys will do worksheets to explore all of this. So that's our plan. I want to say something about the history of what we're doing today. So we are going to do something called Cantor's diagonalization argument. And it came in the 1890s at a time when people were still trying to figure out what math was. And when, you know, people were still trying to put together what it meant for things to be rigorously true in the sense of math. And when this argument came out, a lot of mathematicians were really upset by it because it led to all sorts of contradictions about what we thought math should be. So here are some examples. Kronecker and Gauss are both famous mathematicians, and they both said sort of mean things about Cantor's diagonalization argument because it really upset mathematics at the time. And once people finally came around to accepting it, we just redefined what it meant for things to be true in math, and then everything worked out again. But Cantor's diagonalization argument will hopefully seem surprising and kind of weird to you like it did to mathematicians back in the day. So that's a little bit of history about what we're doing. Okay, so with that, let's get started. I wanted to start by talking about binary numbers. Before we do that, let's talk about regular numbers. So, let's see, can you see that? All right, so regular numbers are what we call base 10. So these are regular numbers. Okay, so what's, someone give me their favorite three-digit regular number. Yeah?
176.
176, great. Okay, so 176. Let's write some things down. Do you guys agree that this is the same as 100 plus 70 plus 6? You guys okay with that? Okay. 100, let's get a little more technical, 1 times 10 squared. Do you guys agree that 100 is 1 times 10 squared? Probably all of you guys know this, but just in case, let me remind you that 10 squared is just fancy notation for 10 times 10. right? So 100 is 1 times 10 squared. 70 is 7 times 10 to the what? Anyone? 10 to the 1? Just multiply 10, you get 10. And then 6. 6 is a little bit harder. This is something called 10 to the 0. That might seem a little bit weird, so let me just write this down as a definition. Mathematicians like to make things look nice, so we defined any number. If we raise it to the 0 power, we just say that equals 1. That's what we did to make math work out nicely. So we've written 176 in this kind of weird way. Hopefully you guys all agree that that's the same as 176. Well, where did all of this come from? Well, notice that the number of 10 to the zeros was the digit furthest to the right. The number of 10 to the ones was the digit next to that. And the number of 10 squareds was the digit all the way to the left. You guys okay with that? So before I move on to the binary system, any questions about our regular old friendly base 10 system? Cool. Now let's do the same thing for binary numbers. So we want to do binary. And this is a base 2 system. So I don't know anything about computers, but when you give a talk on binary numbers, I think it's important to say that they're really useful in computers. Probably some of you in the audience know more about this than I do, but all of the technology that we use every day comes from binary numbers. So binary numbers are super fundamental to our world, but we don't really care about that. We're going to use them to do some abstract math. So binary numbers. I want to choose this one. So here's a binary number. It's just a sequence of ones and zeros. I'm going to put a little bi at the bottom to tell you that this is the binary number 101 and not the regular number 101. And we're going to do the exact same thing. So if this were a regular number, this would tell me the number of 10 to the zeros. But it's a base 2 system, so this tells me the number of 2 to the zeros. This tells me the number of 2 to the ones. And this tells me the number of 2 squareds. Start on the furthest to the right, that tells me the number of 2 to the 0. Move over, 2 to the 1. Move over, 2 to the 2. If I were another digit, it would be 2 cubed. So now I can say that this is the number 1 times 2 squared. Plus, how many 2 to the 1s do I have? 0. How many 2 to the 0s do I have? I have 1. Okay, let's try and figure out what that number is. What is 1 times 2 times 2? Yell it out.
4.
Great. What is 0 times 2 times 1?
0.
1 times 2 to the 0?
1.
Ah, controversial, huh?
1.
2 to the 0 has to be 1, right? So just 1 times 1. So it'll be 1. So this binary number, 101 binary, is the number 5 in our regular old base 10 system. Let's do another one just to make sure we get it. We'll do this one a little faster, and then I'll let you guys work on it. So here is the next one. Let's do 1111 binary. I have more digits, but I still start on the right. This tells me the number of 2 to the 0. This tells me the number of 2 to the 1. 2 squared. 2 cubed. Okay? So this is 1 times 2 cubed, coming from this furthest digit on the left, plus 1 times 2 squared, plus 1 times 2 to the 1, plus 1 times 2 to the 0. Before I figure out what that is, does anyone have any questions on how I'm getting that weird sequence, summing them together? Yeah. So I start with the furthest number on the right. That tells me the number of 2 to the 0. I move over, that tells me the number of 2 to the 1s. I move over, it tells me the number of 2 squareds. I move over, it tells me the number of 2 cubes. So I go to the furthest left, that's 1 times 2 cubed. Move over to the next one, that has to be 1 times 2 squared. Move over again, it has to be 1 times 2 to the 1. Move over one more time, 1 times 2 to the 0. Does that make more sense? Also, if it doesn't make sense yet, we'll totally come around and help you while you're doing your worksheet too. Okay? So what I want you guys to do on your worksheet is kind of explore this. Maybe it's still a little bit confusing, but once you start writing it out, it'll make a lot more sense. And so you guys have two pennies. Ooh, I didn't bring any pennies. Hang on. So on your worksheet, I want you all to practice how to convert binary to base 10. And the way that you do it is you take two pennies and I drop them down. Okay. I line them up next to each other. Look at the key on your worksheet. What is tails equal to, a 1 or a 0? 1. So this should correspond to the number 1 binary. And then I want to convert that. And I'll let you guys work on that. And I'll come around and help you, and all of our other helpers will come around and help you. So for the first half, the next 20 or so minutes, I want you guys to try and work on converting binary numbers to base 10 numbers. And then there's some challenge exercises in case this is boring for you. And then when we're done with that, we'll move on to the second half of the talk where we talk about sizes of sets and different sizes of infinity. So any questions? Yeah?
What if you have 0, 0 binary?
Ooh, that's a great question. That is on your worksheet. So I'm not going to give it away yet, but it's a good question. Any other questions before, just on what we're doing? Yeah? That would be a question for Aaron. Yeah?
Anybody who needs supplies?
All right, we'll get to work. I'll come around and help you, and we'll talk about the answers in a little bit. And maybe I'll leave this up in case that's helpful. Oh, is it messing stuff up?
No, just when you put your hand in, it blurs. There's... Boom, done. Better. Should I walk around too?
Yeah. So I don't know if I answered your question. Let's talk about what 0, 0 binary is. So let's do this example first. How do we get 1, 1 binary?
With two tails.
With two tails, exactly. So this number right here all the way to the left told me the number of 2 to the 0s. So this number told me I want 1 times 2 to the 0s. And this number tells me the number of 2 to the 1s. So now let's do 0, 0. This means I want 0 times 2 to the 1 plus 0 times 2 to the 0. So is that making sense or not making sense? I can explain it again. Yeah?
Another way to do it is, a binary 0 equals real life 0, and in base 10, what is 0, 0?
It's very true. It's exactly
zero.
True.
And in binary, 0, 0 is still 0.
Absolutely. Okay. 0, 0 are the same. Beautiful. So it's 0. Does that make sense to you? Try another number. Like, drop the pennies and try and get a random number. And see how that goes.
Instead of 0.
Instead of 0, 0 was a good warm-up. But now let's step it up.
Should I do it with 3?
Make sure you're really good at 2 first. Make sure you can do any 2 that come to you. And then once you're good with that, go on to 3.
I got 2 tails. But they show the examples for 2 tails.
Well, make sure it makes sense to you. And then do it again. Someday you will get them and they will not be 2 tails. Are you guys doing okay?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Tails, heads, tails, cool. Equals 1. 1 equals 5.
Wow, fast.
He was doing double digits in the car all the way.
Yeah, I was like, I picked 10 random numbers.
Oh, so you'd already heard of binary numbers?
Yeah, and then I just computed the binaries in my head for each one.
Did you learn about them because of the math side or because of the computer stuff?
No, because I learned about it when I took pre-algebra a long time ago.
Oh, they teach that in school? That's awesome.
No,
I don't think.
No, like on the computer.
Ah, that makes more sense because I don't think I learned what binary numbers were in regular school. Oh, that's really cool. But they can still do the extra stuff. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, but he's fascinated about different sizes of infinity.
Oh, we'll get there, I promise.
Totally news to him.
Good, we'll get there. Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Is it making sense?
Yep.
Cool?
Yeah.
Actually.
More to him, maybe?
Yeah, well,
yeah, I actually...
Did you already do it?
I ran through the worksheet before the class started.
Oh, you didn't do the second half, though, because there wasn't enough information, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
But you don't know how to do it yet. I would be really surprised if you could do the second half yet.
Okay.
Especially number 2, because you don't even know what it's asking yet.
Okay.
But good job. Hey, guys. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. So the next math circle, yes, is on our schedule thing.
You guys getting it okay? No questions? Okay. How's it going? How are you guys doing? Are you guys understanding what we're doing okay?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Are you guys doing okay? Any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys got any questions?
He doesn't want to write it out that way.
Doesn't want to what?
He's using a different way to write it out.
Oh, let me see.
Is that okay?
Of course.
Are you building on this?
Oh, no. We're actually going to move on from binary numbers for the second half. So as long as he gets the idea, that's totally good. How are you writing them?
I've learned that it's equal to each one or zero. You basically just... It means how many numbers there are in the sequence. It's kind of like the same thing you're doing here, but it's not using exponents. It's like, since I rolled 0, 1, 0, heads, heads, tails, I have 0 fours, 1, 2, and 0 ones.
What if you had 4 digits? What would be the next number that you put there?
8.
Okay, cool. Maybe you know this, but whenever I have two different definitions of things, it's good to figure out why they're the same.
Okay.
So you might want to try and think about why they're the same. But what you're doing is correct. You guys doing okay?
I'm trying to explain it, and then it just makes her want to throw her pennies at me.
Sure.
We've done it 3 times, but she still doesn't get it.
Oh, let me see if I can help.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Do you want to sit here?
No, it's okay. I'm good at kneeling. So, let's roll an example. Cool. Do you mind if I borrow your pencil? So, that's a heads. What is a heads equal to?
0.
So, do you see how I get the number 0, 1 binary?
Yes.
Okay, cool. This number furthest to the right tells me how many 2 to the zeros. So this should be 1 times 2 to the 0. Okay, so that was a 0. The number next to it has to tell me how many 2 to the 1s. So how many, what's the next thing that I should write?
Times 0.
Yeah.
Plus
0. 0 times what?
2 to the 1.
Beautiful. So then what is that number? Maybe this might confuse you. Do you know what 2 to the 0 is?
1, right?
1, yeah. So this is 1 times 1, which is?
1.
1, cool. Plus? 0 times, yeah, 0. So what number is it?
0.
Oh, let's go back. So let's do this in step. The first number was 1, right?
Yes.
What's this number?
0.
0, cool. So what's 1 plus 0?
1.
1, beautiful. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Try it a couple more times for 2 before you move on to 3.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hi.
You have any questions?
Yeah.
You doing the challenges?
Yep.
Nice.
Are we? Good. Yeah, we're up there.
I think the last challenge is particularly hard.
Something you can ask Julia.
What?
We were wondering what your husband does.
What he does? He's a computer software developer.
Oh.
He was in grad school, and then he left after his third year with a master's.
That's what Michelle mentioned. We were just wondering what he does now that he's
in
the real world.
He's a computer programmer
at a
company called Spiceworks in Austin.
That's cool. What kind of software does he work on?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I certainly don't know a lot about it, but I'm sure he'd love to tell you.
Does he know about your research?
He knows how to say the words exotic R4s and Stein surfaces. Yeah, because I talk about them a lot.
Does he know what they mean?
No, he probably knows what an exotic R4 is. I mean,
I'm a Stein surface.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You guys doing okay? Any questions on it? Oh, are you doing that? That's hard. I think the challenge, the extra challenge is particularly hard, but you're doing great. You guys doing okay? People seem to be getting down with it a lot faster than I expected.
Yeah.
When Aaron gets back, I'll ask him what I should do. I sort of expected this to take 45 minutes. 30 minutes.
It's been 30?
Yeah.
Of walking around?
No, I sort of expected this to end at 45 for everything to work out the way I wanted. Did she get it?
Yeah. She was just reciting very high powers at 2. She was 1,024, and she was
20, you knew that one, right?
2,096 or 4,096, 8,190. She was really multiplied by 2.
Hey.
I'm a teacher. I teach second grade. And I wanted to tell you that I don't know what you're planning to go into, education or like.
Hopefully, I want to do some teaching.
There's a really cute little thing that you can make.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's we call it ours at home is a binary converter. And
I've never heard of that.
It's really fun. It's like a piece of I don't know, like balsa wood, you get at Michael's or whatever.
Okay.
And then you get little cups, and I use like half Easter egg things. You know,
okay.
Like you break an Easter egg and you hot glue them onto here. You can tell I'm a second grade teacher because I use a whole lot of hot glue. And then you take like little pom poms that you can get at Michael's too, and you label these. So like this is 2 to 0, this is 2 to 1.
Ah, so if there's a pom pom in there, that's a yes.
It's a yes or a no, and so then you have them, you know, up here.
Cool.
So that they can.
So then they just like add them together.
Right, and so then you just add them up. So 16 plus 4 plus 1 is 21, and that's how you get 21. And you can actually. Like, you see the kids, like, you know, they'll put one pom-pom in, and then they'll take it out, and then they'll put a pom-pom here, and then another pom-pom here, and then they take them both out, and they put one here, and then there, and then one here, and then, you know, and it gets to be, like, a rhythm, and they can actually see
what's happening better.
So if you ever have, you know, a situation
where
you need it, those are really fun to make.
It's neat that you're teaching second graders about binary numbers. That's pretty awesome.
Well, my son was real into it when he was in kindergarten. He had a...
kindergarten, wow.
He had a 101 birthday party when he turned 5, and he had 101 candles, and it was a big to-do. But we made that when he was in kindergarten, and then...
Then you used it for your class?
Yeah. I used it for my class. So
awesome.
We made a trinary converter, too. you have to have marbles because they're smaller. And anyway, so I just thought that might be fun.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. So it seems like a lot of you guys are finishing up fast. How many guys have finished the basic not challenge problems? A lot of you? Still working? Okay, cool. How many people have like done the challenge problems and are sitting there bored with nothing to do? All right, quite a few of you. So why don't we do like 5 more minutes? Those of you who are bored can think really hard about something mathematical. And the rest of you guys can try and finish up, and then we'll get going on the second half.
If you are bored, like lie down at helper or come get a helper because we have plenty of extra stuff that you can do with these problems.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
What extra stuff?
I have no idea. But we can think of stuff. Closest what?
There's one right outside.
Bathroom?
One.
Oh. Hey!
Okay, I got three. There's a pattern with these, and it makes sense because...
Which one? Oh, good.
See, there's a pattern, and it makes sense because you just increase the binary numbers
and you're adding
by one, and you just add one to each real number.
That's exactly true.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to show where you're...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did you do the challenge?
Uh-huh. And I noticed that I came up with a formula. If we had x pennies, it would just be 2 to the x numbers. It's just a geometric sequence. So if we had 1 penny, then we would have 2. And then 2 pennies, 2 to the that.
Exactly.
2 outcomes. Yeah.
So this isn't a binary number. But what if you... This isn't on the worksheet. But what if you started with a number and you just went that way forever? Can you write out, like, an infinite sequence corresponding to what you'd get?
You mean like this?
Yeah, like what would 1111111111 going off forever? What infinite sequence would that be?
It would be the sum.
Ooh, you even know sum notation. Way to go.
It would be 2 to 2. Wait, sorry. I goes from 1 to infinity.
Perfect.
To the I.
Careful. I think there's one thing that's wrong with that. How would I write the number... What if I... I think that the I isn't starting at the right place.
Oh, no, because it's 0 to infinity.
There you go.
Because we have that 1 added in there.
And now, I don't know if you know this, do you know what converging means?
Converging?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it means you work with it in limits.
It
converges to a certain number.
Does that converge?
This would not converge. It's unbounded.
Totally. Now I'm going to give you one more that might be harder.
Sure.
Imagine you start the binary numbers and you go to the right, And instead of being 2 to the 0 power, so let's say I have the number, you know, I'm going to the right. You start at 2 to the negative 1. And the next one over tells me 2 to the minus 2, mm-hmm. 2 to the minus 3. Mm-hmm. Think about what kind of numbers you'll get with that.
You just get fractions.
Very good. Think about the geometric series if there was an infinite one, whether or not that might
converge.
Well,
it would just be 1/2 to the I instead of 2 to the I.
Does it converge?
Yes, in this case it would converge.
Very good. You got it down.
Let's ask her if there's, another way to do it.
How are you
so
doing
we're
it?
Doing this challenge thing here.
Cool.
And he was talking about the way to make sure, like, however many pennies you have. Well, go ahead.
I was just, he was asking, okay, so it gives you a list of n binary numbers.
You'll be able to do this much better later, but cool.
And can you make n binary numbers that you're giving a list of a number of a certain number of binary numbers and you're giving a certain number of pennies to represent them. And so you can create more as long as 2 to the n, the number of possibilities with n pennies, is
yep.
greater than n, the number of possibilities they wrote down, which it always will be, even when n is 0.
Even when n is 0.
Like,
yes, I agree.
And so once I realized that it would always be possible to do so, I just did the long known method of guess and check. Like, just write down all possible numbers until you reach one that isn't listed.
So at this point, that's all you can do. After we answer number 2, the point of number 3 will become a lot more clear. We're going to find, like, an algorithm for constructing that missing number.
Ooh.
That's kind of the goal.
Way to get there faster than counting through all the numbers.
Hey!
I just realized
that
you told me to do this, I equals 0 to infinity mm-hmm. of 1/2
to the I.
If we took out the 0 and we just had the sum as I goes from 1 to infinity of 1/2 to the I, we would get zeta 2, the Bayes' problem, and then
ooh, you might be doing math I don't know anything about.
Whatever. And you would just, you know, plug it into the formula, zeta.
Is that the formula for the geometric series sum?
It's the formula for zeta function. Negative 1 to the n plus 1 times Bernoulli 2n.
Oh, gosh.
Times 2i to the 2n over 2 times 2n factorial. And we just get pi squared over 6. That's just the Bayes' problem. And we just plug the numbers in. We know that's pi squared over 6. So that's what this is.
I'm not familiar with that, but...
0 and...
I don't think that sum is pi squared over 6.
Yeah, the
they talked about that.
Zeta 2 is pi squared over 6.
And they
but the sum of 1/2 to the n forever is...
Yeah, if we... 1/2... Yeah, right. Oh, no, it is... It is as
it should be a real
from. Oh yeah, it is.
It shouldn't be irrational. That's my complaint.
So this is it. As it goes, as I goes from 0, I forgot. You wouldn't have to take out it. So as I goes from 0 to infinity.
I gotta get going on the next half, but I'll come back to you. I promise.
Is equal to pi squared over.
Okay. Let me ask. Is there any challenge question or not challenge question that you guys want to see done? Is there anything that stumped you or that you're interested in? You're only supposed to do the first half of the worksheet. I hope you don't try and do the second because you don't know anything about it yet. Is there any problems that people want done that confuse them? Want to see? No? Okay, cool. Aaron, we usually take a break?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle
of the activity. Okay, cool. Well, let's do number 1 on the worksheet together and then we'll take a break and then we'll learn about more stuff. So what I want to do now is I want to talk about when are two sets the same size. So, when are two sets the same size? So here's an example. Oh, first of all, I should probably tell you what a set is. A set just means I take curly braces and I put some stuff in between them. That's a set. A set just means I take curly braces and I list some things and all the things in my list are in the set. So here's another set. maybe apple, kitten, bookcase. Okay, those are two sets, right? A set is just curly braces with stuff in between. Do you guys think those sets are the same size? No. Who thinks those sets are the same size? Yeah, they're the same size. How many elements, or how many things are in each set?
Three,
right? Yeah. So in the case of finite sets, that's sort of easy to say that they're the same size. But when we get to infinite sets, we need to be a little bit more rigorous. So two sets are the same size if you can draw arrows between their elements, or the things in them, in such a way that you've taken every element in one and paired it with every element in the other. And it should make sense that two sets are the same size when this can happen, because you've said there's exactly the same number of elements because I can match them up nicely. Does that make sense? Two sets are the same size when you can write them down like this and draw arrows between the elements so that every element is hit by exactly one arrow. This is what we call a bijection, which is just a fancy word for these arrows. So now let me throw in, I don't know, what's another thing? Light? Let's put a bulb in here. Put a light bulb in our set. Are these sets the same size now? No. Because I can't find, there's no way for me to draw another arrow without, let's see, let me say this. These sets aren't the same size because no matter how I draw my arrows, I'll always have one on the bottom that isn't at the end of an arrow. Does that make sense? So this is what it means for two sets to be the same size. Now, you guys have number one on your worksheet. Now that you know what it means for two sets to be the same size, why don't you take 5 minutes, talk about number one on your worksheet, decide what you think the answer is, and then we'll vote. So take 5 minutes and try and do number one on your worksheet. Number one on section two. Yeah? Are they the same size?
The dot, dot, dot.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Guys, I forgot to mention this. What does the dot, dot, dot mean? It means those sets go on forever. So like any, so the first set starts at 1, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it keeps going. 1,052 is in there. 13,000 million something is in there. Any number that you can count up to is in that set. So it's an infinite set. And then the same, the other set's the same except it starts at 7 maybe?
9.
9 starts at 9. So those are both infinite sets, and decide if they're the same size. Sorry, keep going. Yes, thank you for pointing that out.
So we say that infinity plus x, when x is a real number, is equal to infinity. So here we just have infinity plus 8
but
elements.
I want you to try and show they're the same size using the way we just defined two sets to be the same size. So we said that two sets are the same size if you can get these arrows between them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So try and, yeah, exactly. You want to try and draw the arrows and decide if they're the same size. And it looks like you think that they are the same size. Let me ask you a question. Couldn't I get from this set to this set by removing 8 things?
Well, you could get from this set to this set by removing 8 things.
How?
If we just remove...
Oh yeah, I said it backwards. You're right, I'm wrong.
Then we would get this set.
So do you think they're the same size?
No.
But you just drew the arrows between them.
But then if we have a dot 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 here and a dot 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 here, there's 8 more elements and then a dot here and a dot 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 there. So if we just removed 8 more elements from the infinite set there, we could get there.
I'm going to let you try and think about it a while. It's supposed to be a little bit philosophical. But there are two answers, right? You proved yes and you proved no. Think about which one you think is true.
I think it is.
What do you guys think?
No. I was thinking yes and no.
Ah, that's not allowed in math.
Well,
what's your reasoning?
It's kind of challenging to think of it this way because, but infinity and inequality, I don't know, it's just really confusing.
Yeah, you should avoid writing infinity.
One paradox that I came up with a few years ago was that take the set of all integers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, then take the set of all roots of integers. Yes, you can use imaginary numbers, all square roots of imaginary numbers. I mean, of
negative numbers.
Of integers, and it can be imaginary. And there should be one square root of every integer for every integer there is, right?
Ah, so you're saying...
So the sets should be equal, because each element corresponds. But the square roots of integers include the all integers.
I think what you're saying is you started with the set, and then you produced a bigger set, but they're the same sets. And that's exactly what this problem is getting at.
Take the whole numbers. And then you take the positive square root of all these whole numbers. And then there should be one to correspond. There should be one corresponding square root of a whole number to go with every whole number. So the sets are equal.
Yep.
But the square root of whole number if whole numbers include all the whole numbers.
That is true.
And many irrational values. So the set of square roots of whole numbers is larger, and yet at the same time equal.
Very good. That is exactly what I'm about to talk about.
Paradox of inequality.
Have you ever looked up Russell's paradox?
What's that?
It'll be on the slide at the end. You should look it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. You'll like it.
Thank you.
Is it the world with race and they're like
there are like a million different ways to phrase it. I haven't heard that one before. But
the Achilles and tortoise paradox.
Remind me, do you know the statement?
It's like, so say the tortoise gets a head start, mm-hmm. like it runs 10 meters, right? Mm-hmm. So the Achilles then run 10 meters, but by then the turtle would have gone another, like, say 110.
Yeah.
Then the
I know what you're getting at. They're not the same paradox.
Oh, they're not?
They're different, I think.
I think.
They might be the same.
Part of the Cantor's.
Cantor's diagonalization
yeah,
argument?
Cantor's, I searched up on Wikipedia, but I never understood the stuff on Wikipedia. I never understood
about Cantor's stuff?
No, because Wikipedia overcomplicates everything.
It does. I tried to read about this on Wikipedia, and I barely understood it. Yeah,
I get it. So.
Do people seem to be done, Michelle? Yeah? All right. You guys need more time? Anyone? You guys? Let's vote. Who thinks those sets are the same size? You only get one answer, by the way. Okay. Who thinks those sets are different sizes? Interesting. Okay. The same sizes have it, but let's talk about why. Because the point of this question was for you to understand why mathematicians were so upset by Cantor's argument in the first place. And we haven't even gotten there yet. So, here's a set, right? We have this set. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the first set. It goes on forever. What does the second set start at? I don't have a worksheet.
9.
Okay. We said that two sets are the same size if I can draw these arrows between them to pair up the elements, making them the same size. So where do I want to send 1 to? 9. Where do I want to send 2 to? 10. Well, hey, if I keep doing this forever, I'm definitely going to get arrows that pair up. Thank you. That pair up the elements. You know, whatever's right here, I send it to the one that's right there, and I keep doing that forever. So I've certainly paired up these elements in a way that there's exactly one matching each other one. So these sets are the same size. But those of you who said no, why'd you say no? There's a really good reason.
Yeah. Because we could remove 8 elements from the first set and get the second set.
Exactly. If I could take the second set and remove 8 things, the first set and remove 8 things to get the second set, they shouldn't be the same size, right? But infinite numbers, we just needed to make this rigorous, and the way we made it rigorous was by saying these arrows. And this is just the way we've defined two sets to be the same size. Yeah?
Can you not figure out
if those two sets are different sizes or not? Because the second set could be like half of the second set. Well, we know exactly what the second set is. We can't write it down, right? But I know exactly what's in the second set. Any number that I can count to is in the second set. And if I wanted to be really rigorous about this, I'll write this down. If it doesn't make sense, that's okay. But I could take the nth number here. What would I send it to here? N plus 8, right? So if I wanted to be really careful, I could write that down. And now what I've said is no matter what number on the top, I've sent it to a number on the bottom and said that these sets are the same size. So I know exactly what's in them. So I couldn't produce something that's not lined up with an arrow. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
you have a question?
Yeah, so there are two different ways to think about it, only needing two different answers. Why is that one?
Ah, you're sounding like Kronecker and Gauss.
That one's right and that one's wrong. I mean, I don't know.
Well, so this is exactly what I wanted to happen. This is what it felt like to be doing math in the 1890s, right? Who's right? Well, mathematicians decided Cantor's right. And this is what Cantor decided two sets who are the same size should look like. So if you're a mathematician, two sets are the same size if you can come up with these arrows between them. And you just kind of have to get used to the fact that I can remove 8 elements from the first one and get the second one. So these two are infinite, and they really should be the same size, right? Because if I want to count the size of each of these sets, I just count to all numbers, right? Size of the second one, I just count to all numbers. So it sort of makes sense that these sets are the same size because they're just all counting numbers, right? So mathematicians decided that two sets are the same size when you can find these arrows between them. So I know some of you are a little bit mad at me right now, and that was the point. Do you guys have any questions other than expressing your anger? Which is fine. That's good, too. Okay, cool. Well, we are going to define two different infinite sets. So these were two infinite sets, right? They were the same size. The next thing we're going to do is define two sets that are different size and prove that they are different sizes. But why don't we take a break, and we'll do that after our break. And you can tell me more about your anger during the break if you want. Hey.
Where are the snacks again?
Outside in the hallway. Very good question. Yeah.
We know that, so if you match these things up, we know that the two sets are the same size, but are they the same set?
No.
Do you have a preferred, okay.
Yeah, I think
they're not the same set.
I think that for something to be the same set means the elements are exactly the same.
Oh, all right.
But that's take your pick. Like,
that's what I thought.
There's this, right? So here's why we learned about binary numbers. Here's a set. This is the mysterious number 2 on your worksheet. 0, 1 to the infinity. What is this set? Well, it's the set of all infinite, I'll put this number in quotes, strings of zeros and ones. So these are a lot like binary numbers, which is why I wanted to warm you up with binary numbers, but they are not binary numbers. So here's an example. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. 1, 1, 1, 1. And you can't write it all down because it's an infinite string of ones. That's something that's in our set. It's not a binary number because you couldn't write out a binary expansion the way we did before because there are infinitely many digits. So you can never find the rightmost digit to figure out what your 2 to the 0 place is, right? So these are no longer binary numbers, but you should have a feel for them because they're just infinite sequences of zeros and ones. So here's another one. 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, etc. Maybe I don't want it to be any sort of pattern. Any infinite string, infinite sequence of zeros and ones, lives inside of this set. Do you guys agree that this is an infinite set?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is another infinite set. I want to compare it to a set that we're all pretty familiar with. Which now I'm going to give it a name. The set of natural numbers. Maybe some of you have heard of it. It's just the set of counting numbers. And so we talked about this in the last exercise. And this dot, dot, dot means we include any number that we can count to. So these are two infinite sets. And what I want to do is prove that these two sets are not the same size. And that will prove that there are two different sizes of infinity, because the size of this one is infinite, the size of this one is infinite, but their sets are not the same size. So there must be two different sizes of infinity. So we have these two sets. How are we going to prove that they're different sizes? We know how to prove things are the same size. You can find those arrows, right? So if we want to prove that things are different sizes, it means we can't find those arrows. So let's write this as a theorem. So it's definitely a theorem. The natural numbers and this weird set 0, 1 to the infinity are different sizes. And we're going to use something technical called a proof by contradiction. But it's not going to be too technical for our purposes. So here's the proof. Well, you guys are going to prove it. I'm just going to get you started. What would happen if they were the same size? Okay, that means that I can take the natural numbers over here, and I can list all of the things in it, right? I can go down the list, and I have all the natural numbers. And then I can take the set 0, 1 to the infinity, and I can write it over here. And I can draw an arrow going from 1 to something over here. I can draw an arrow from 2, going to something over here. An arrow from 3, going to something over here. An arrow from 4, going to something over here. An arrow from 5, going to something over here. And I can choose these arrows so that every element in here appears in this list, right? I've paired them up in this nice way that I'm used to. So maybe I chose like 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, etc. Can't write them all down. Maybe I choose 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, etc. Maybe I choose all zeros. Maybe I choose all ones. Maybe I choose alternating. I don't know how I chose this, but somehow I can draw these arrows, and this list goes on forever, so that every element on the right, so that every element in 0, 1 to the infinity appears on the right. Point is, if these two sets were the same size, I could count them, right? So I could match every element up over here with an element up over here, and I could get this bijection, or this pairing, showing that these two sets are the same size. Well, I claim there's something missing from the list on the right. And what I want you guys to do, figure out what's missing from the list on the right. And no matter how I choose the list on the right, there will always be something missing. So I want you guys to try and find that missing element. And maybe that's too vague, so I'm going to give you a couple minutes to try and work on that. If it's confusing, then I'll give you a hint. But for now, find an element that's not on the right. If I can always find an element that's not on the right, then these sets can't be the same size, because no matter how I choose these arrows, there's always an element missing. Does the problem make sense?
No.
No? So I claim that these sets can't be the same size, because if they were, I could do these arrows matching up the elements, right? Matching up the things in the sets. So I've done this. There must be something missing from the right. I want you to find the thing that's missing from the list on the right. There's something in this crazy 0, 1 to the infinity set that isn't on my list, no matter how I try and write out the list. Give it a little bit of thought, and then I'll give you guys more of a hint if you need it. Yeah?
So the idea is that you actually have that list in the lecture mm-hmm. there, and you claim that all of the sequences are there on the right?
Yeah.
And one of the two that you're lighting the entire
right. So...
So this is just the beginning of this list, but you actually have some...
So, something is missing from the list on the right, no matter how I chose it. I want you guys to figure out what it is. Go for it, and I'll give you more of a hint if we need it. The helpers all know what I'm talking about, so they can help you too. Not quite? So, if these two sets were the same size, I could draw these arrows between them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I could do that so that I've hit every element on the list on the right. There has to be nothing missing. So I have to have every element from the set on the right in the list. So, if I were missing an element on the right, then they wouldn't be the same size.
So there must be something on the left side that doesn't have a partner on the
exactly.
Right side.
That's a good way of putting it. Backwards, so, but yes.
Yes.
So Gavin, is there something in the natural number set that could not have a partner on the other side?
Backwards. Is there something in the 0, 1 to the infinity set that isn't paired with a natural number?
There you go.
So is there something that isn't on the list that I wrote?
Is there something in the zero?
Let me give you a hint really quick, because I think there's a lot of confusion. So, if I want to pick something, I claim that there's something in the 0, 1 to the infinity set that isn't on my list. How would I go about constructing that number? Make sure it's not the first number. This is your kind of vague head. Then make sure it's not the second number. Then make sure it's different from the third number. Then make sure it's different from the fourth number. Think about how you can make sure that the number you're producing is different from all of the numbers on the list. That's your hint. We'll come around and help you. Keep working.
Does that help?
Not help?
so this depends on you making a choice about what things go where, right?
How are you guys doing? Confused? So let me give you a bigger hint. I want to make something different than the first number on the list. If it had a different first digit, it couldn't be the same as the first number. So if my number started with a zero, it can't be the same as the first number on the list.
I get the question.
Does that make sense? So I'm trying to write down a number that isn't on my list. If that number started with a zero, it can't be the same as the first number. If that number had a zero and then a one, it can't be the same as the first number or the second number, because it has a different first digit than the first number and a different second digit than the second number. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Try and do that.
But you said infinity, so that means...
Yeah, can you do it forever? Can you always... Can you choose each digit in your infinite sequence so that it will be different than something on the list?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the idea.
I say nothing missing.
So this it has to be finite, or it can be finite.
Nothing is finite. Sorry, say your question again.
Can this sequence of 0 and 1 be finite, or has to be infinite?
It can be finite if you think of it as infinitely many zeros happening at the end.
Okay.
So it has to be infinite, but it could have infinitely many zeros in it if you wanted.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Cool. Do you have a question?
You take the one on the very left from the first, and you take the opposite of that.
Yes.
Zero, then you go down diagonally.
Beautiful. Now you see why it's called a diagonalization argument. You got it. Did you guys get started okay? Cool. Ooh, good. Sorry. You guys getting okay? Does the question make sense? Ooh, that's lower than I thought it was.
Isn't there nothing missing from that?
That's exactly what I'm trying to prove. I'm saying that the infinity of 0, 1 to the infinity is bigger than the infinity on the left. So there has to be something missing. Let's think about this easier. Look at the first digit, first number up there. What does it start with?
On which set?
On the right, sorry. What does the first number start with?
One.
Yeah. So if I'm trying to choose a number that's not on the list, if I start it with a zero, it can't be the same as the first number on the list. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now I want to choose my second digit so that it can't be the same as the second number on the list. What should I choose my second digit to be?
The opposite of the second one.
Beautiful. And if I keep doing that forever, then I'm going to define this new infinite sequence that isn't the same as any number on my list. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So no matter how I choose this list, I'll always be able to find one that's not on it. So it must, there must be one missing.
But if the sequence is infinite, then all the possibilities would have to be taken already in that set.
See, you're thinking there's only one kind of infinity. But the whole point is there's this new kind of infinity that's bigger. And the reason it's bigger is because no matter, even if I write down infinitely many, there's still one that's missing. And the reason is because I choose it so that it's missing. I choose this number so that it's different than each of the numbers on the list. Does that make some more sense? What I recommend, try and write down the number that's different than the list I gave you. Write down the first 5 digits of that number. And I think it might make more sense. I'll come back if you're still stuck.
So I have to write the first 5 digits of the number and the first.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Are you guys getting it okay? Maybe now it's...
Sure, he figured it out.
Yeah? Way to go.
He's our math guru.
Maybe now it's gotten hard enough. Do you guys want to talk about it, or do you want to let him?
He'll just explain it.
It's good practice.
Yeah, you just need to make...
How are you doing? Is it making sense?
Okay. I understand the question.
You do understand the question?
I understand the question, but I don't understand the way to find out.
Okay. So let's just look at the first number. What does it start with?
Okay.
I want to choose a number that's not the same as the first number. What could I make it start with? Yeah, so now it's not the same as the first number. Okay, so we know we want the first digit to be a zero. Now let's choose the second digit so that it has to be different than the second number. How would I do that? Yeah, what would the third digit be? Oh, I want it to be different than the third digit of the third number. So our third number on the list has all zeros, right? Cool, let me do it with him and then I'd love to hear it. So I picked my first number to be a zero, and then I picked a one, because it's not the same as the first number, it's not the same as the second number.
Diagonal list of changes.
Beautiful, that's why it's called a diagonalization argument. Does that make sense? Cool. Did you want to show me?
So, you do one, match to the one with an infinitely long string of zero. Two ones, infinitely long string of zero. Three ones.
So you think you found the arrows so that they're the same size?
The answer would be 101. That's missing.
Let me see. So you're exactly right. You found a number that's not on the list. But what I want you to do is look at my list. I gave you the list. Can you find a number that's not on that list? So the point is that I want you to be able to take any list that anyone gives you. So you created this really nice list. What if I give you a list that wasn't nice? Can you always find a number that's missing?
01000.
Okay, so 01. Yes, you're exactly right. So in your head, somehow, you're doing this method of finding a number that's missing. What are you doing? You're doing it. You just have to think about what are you doing to come up with that number.
What if you had a one? What if you had an infinitely long strand of zeros, and then an infinitely long string of ones?
What number? I can think of a number that's not one of those two numbers.
Every other.
No. Yeah, every other. See, you're doing something. What are you doing?
That were in the form. Look at this number. So you know that's not in
your list. Whatever this word is. Okay. Exactly. So I'm going to be a little bit more systematic about it. What I think you're both doing in your head is look at the first number. What does it start with?
One.
Okay, so if I want to choose a number that's not the same as the first number, what should I make it start with?
Zero.
Great. So now it's different than the first number. I want to choose its second digit, so it's not the same as the second number. What should the second digit be?
One.
Beautiful. Now I want to choose the third digit, so it's different from the third number.
How does that work? Zero.
Ooh. That means the third digit, those are the same, right? So if I choose my third digit to be zero, the third number there has the third digit to be zero, right? So those could possibly be the same. So how could I choose my third digit so it's definitely not the same as the third number?
One.
Yeah. So now, let's keep going. I want to choose my fourth digit so it's definitely not the same as the fourth digit of the fourth number. What should I make it?
Zero. But why can't you make your fourth digit not the same? But if you make your third digit a 1, well, that's the same as the first number.
That's okay. I know that two numbers are the same. They have to have the exact same digits, right? So I chose my first number so that it can't be the same as the first number. And then I chose my second digit so that it can't be the same as the second number.
Oh.
Then I chose my third digit so that it can't be the same as the third number. And I keep doing that forever. And I've chosen a number that has to be different than all of the numbers on my list.
Yeah.
So try and write that down. Try and, like, somehow make sure you really get it. But it sounds like you do.
You get it.
Cool. How are you guys doing? You guys getting, you understand the question? Oh, you're on the challenge. Beautiful.
So I haven't gotten it.
That's okay.
I have figured out this. The set of natural numbers, if we take a chunk of that set, it's not going to be an infinite set. But if we take a chunk of the set on the right, like, let's say, every set that has the first three number zeros, we're still going to have an infinite set.
That's true.
So we take, so then if we just take chunks of each, this is going to turn into a finite set. This stays an infinite set. So we could pair every natural number up with a set that has these, and then a set that started with this would not have a partner with the natural numbers.
So what you just said was, I can pick a pairing that doesn't work. you need to show that no pairing could ever work, right? Because, for example, go back to that one that I said were the same size. Can I see your worksheet? I could definitely pick a pairing between them that doesn't work, right? Like, I could just skip the number 9. And that pairing wouldn't say that they're the same size. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a different pairing that I could choose. So you picked one pairing and said that that pairing doesn't work, which is true. But how do you know there's not some other pairing out in the universe that does work?
Because we already have the one that doesn't work, so we know that they're not the same size.
Ah, but can I see your pencil?
Mm-hmm.
So here's a pairing between the exact same set, right? Here's an infinite set. Here's another infinite set. Do you agree that those are definitely the same size?
Definitely.
Okay, here's a pairing that doesn't work. Now let's send 2 to 4. Send 3 to 6. There's a pairing between them, right? It's not the right pairing.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're different sizes.
I see. So there are different pairs. So you can make different pairings and make those never have partners. But
right. You can make bad choices. And that this is a good life lesson. You can make bad choices. And that doesn't mean that you couldn't have made right choices.
Change the circumstances. Yeah. It just means you made a bad choice.
There you go. Yeah, let's draw some life lessons. So the point of this is that I chose my list sort of randomly. And I want to always be able to find a number that's missing, no matter how I choose my list. That's your task. You want a hint, or you want to keep thinking about it?
I think you need a hint. Yeah.
Okay, so what does the first number start with?
1, 0.
Starts with a 1, right? So if I want to choose a number that's not the same as the first number, what should I start it with?
0.
Great. Now I want to choose the second digit to make sure that number is not the same as the second number. What should I choose it to be?
If we started the first one with 1, 1, then we could start the next one with 1, 0.
Well, let's see. So I picked my first number to be 0, right? So that I knew it was different from the first number on my list. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now I want to choose, so I have a 0. I want to choose my second digit to make sure that it's not the same as the second number. What's the second number? What's the second digit in the second number?
0.
Okay. What should I choose right here to make sure that it's not the same as that?
1.
Beautiful. So now I know that I have this number. It starts with a 0, 1. It can't be the same as the first number, right? Because it starts with a 0. It can't be the same as the second number because its second digit is a 1. Let's keep doing that forever. And that's your hint.
So it would be like 0, 1, 0, 0.
Well, you have to look at the list. I picked 0 and I picked 1. Now I want to choose my third digit so that it's different from the third number on the list. What's the third digit on the third number?
0.
Okay, how do I make it different than that?
You make it 1.
Beautiful. And you keep doing that. Each time you go to your next digit, make it different than one of the numbers on the list. Can't be the same as anything on the list because you've made sure it's different. So try and write that down, or try and make sure that makes sense. But that's kind of the idea. How are we doing? How many people are done? Still working? How many people are still working? That's a better question. Sure. Well, good. You shouldn't be done with life yet. Okay, let's take 3 more minutes just to let everyone else finish it up, and then we will keep going. Is that okay? Cool.
Why does your screen camera say vegetables?
That's the name of my computer. My husband doesn't think I eat enough vegetables, and he set up my computer. My husband doesn't think I eat enough vegetables, so he wanted to remind me that there are vegetables in the world.
Are you still in college?
I'm a grad student. So I finished college, and then I went to college again for 4 more years, and I still have who knows how many more years. What?
How long have you been in grad school?
I've been in grad school for 4. I think I'll finish in 6. 5 or 6.
Is that common for a mathematician?
At UT especially.
Really?
Yeah. They make us teach a lot. But I like teaching, so that's okay.
What do you think you're going to do?
I would like to be a professor at a school that cares a lot more about teaching than UT does.
A lot more about teaching.
I mean, UT has really big classes. Like, if you take a calculus class here, you're going to be in it with 150 people. And I'd like to teach at a school where maybe the average calculus class is like 30 people. Just get to know your student.
A lot.
I agree.
At my school, the biggest classes are 18 people.
And that's how it should be. It should be smaller than that even. But they have to pay teachers, and that becomes a problem.
101.
What?
1-to-1.
Okay. 1-to-1? 1-to-1. Oh, 1-to-1 students? I don't know.
That might be a little bit. I mean, that would. Actually, I think students learn well together, right? It's probably good to have some friends to learn with.
5
would probably be good, but probably never going
to
happen.
For two numbers to be the same size, for two sets to be the same size? If you want to prove that, like Julia said, you show it.
Vegetables.
And then you say, okay.
All right, sounds like people are done.
Again, you have to show it. By
I'm basically done.
And you could be too late. You can't show that on the
All right, guys, are you ready for the punchline? I think a lot of you got it, but let's do it. So, I want to see that there's something missing from this list. Let's try and find it. So I want to write down a number. The first thing I want to do is make sure it's not the same as the first number on the list. The first number starts with a 1. So why don't I choose my number to start with a 0? Do you agree that any number that starts with a 0 has to be different than the first number on my list?
Yeah.
Okay, now I want to make it different from the second number on my list. I'm going to choose its second digit to be a 1. Certainly can't be the same as the first number because it still starts with a 0. Can't be the same as the second number because it has a different second digit. Yeah? What should my third number be? A 1, right? Now its third digit is not the same as the third digit of the third number, so they have to be different. And then I keep going and I get a 0. And then I want to make it different from this, so I choose a 0. And I can do this forever. And I'll get some infinite sequences of 1s and 0s that hasn't been on my list yet. Because let's say it is on my list. I've arranged for them to have a different digit, so it can't have been on my list. So the point is that if these were the same size, then I prove that something is wrong. So these can't possibly be the same size. Yeah?
What if on your list, 1 is 4 numbers going on and on and on, and the rest are 5 numbers going on?
You mean like what if it were a repeating 4 numbers? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It actually, the whole point is that it doesn't even matter how I choose my list. Because no matter how I write down my list, I can always pick a number that's not on the list because it has a different digit, right? So let's say you're saying, like, what if my list looked different? Maybe it were like 1110001111, something like that. Well, then I would have chosen, maybe this is the 6th number on my list. Let's say this is the 6th number on my list. Well, then I would, did I miss 1 or 2? Then I would choose my 6th digit to be a 0. No matter how I write down my list, I can always pick a number that's not on it by choosing a digit to be different. Cool. So let me just say it again. If these were the same size, I could find a pairing between them, but no matter how I write down the pairing, a number is always missing. So I've proven that this infinite set has to be bigger than this infinite set because I can't pair them up nicely. Like I said, 2 sets are the same size. So you can hopefully see why it's called a diagonalization argument. Yeah? Do you guys have any questions about the argument itself? Yeah?
So we get this with sets, but then we just think about infinity as we use it in our world, you know, 1, 2, 3, ongoing.
Ah, good.
And then we just have, like, infinite, like, stars, but let's say, and then we have infinite chairs, then there would be the same number.
So again, I'm not a physicist, but I wouldn't be surprised if the number of stars were the same size as that set. But certainly not a physicist. But we don't know. There are lots of different infinities appearing on the world. Certainly we're more used to the size of infinity on the left, but why can't the number of stars be the same size as the infinity on the right? Who knows? Probably a physicist. But just because you think of infinity one way doesn't mean that's necessarily the right infinity to be thinking. Yeah?
Is there any physical
representation?
Yeah, that would.
Let's see. So this might not be very helpful. I can't think of anything in the real world. But let's say I pick a tree. This is just another way to think of the same set that might help some people. If I take a tree like this and I keep going down forever, keep splitting, this set is the same size as the number of lines going down to the bottom. So that might be hard for a lot of people, but we can talk about that more maybe afterwards. But you can think about this set as being the same size as the number of lines going down to the bottom of an infinite tree like this. And that's the best physical equivalence I can come up with. I don't know if there's really something in the world that is the same size as the set. But that's a good question. Do you know something?
Since you mentioned physics,
yeah. Oh yeah, Aaron's a physicist, okay. Sort of.
Sort of. Yeah. So there is, people have made these models of the universe, which nobody really knows whether they're right or not, but they're cool. And they made these models where in any universe you can have smaller universes that sort of branch off from inside of them. And this is a model that people call eternal inflation or things like that. And in that sort of model you can, I think, although again I'm not like really a cosmologist, you can have a universe that sort of looks exactly like that tree. And if that's the case, then yeah, there would be something in our, you know, if that model correctly models our universe, then there would be something in our universe whose size was sort of that tree. Maybe, but again, I'm not a cosmologist.
We should really get a cosmologist in here, huh? Cool. Any more questions about the argument itself? Anything not make sense? Hopefully you guys can see, like, it's sort of surprising. You might not want to believe it. So there's one set missing. Why don't I just add it to the list? But no matter how I add it to the list, I'll always be able to find one that's missing. So that is Cantor's diagonalization argument. I want to say a couple... Oop, don't look at me typing my password. Okay. So what did I want to say? So what have we done? We've proven that there's a set bigger than the set of counting numbers, right? We've proven that there's a set 0, 1 to the infinity that has to be larger than the set of counting numbers. So we've proven there are at least two sizes of infinity. They're actually uncountably many sizes of infinity. So hopefully this will really blow your mind. You take this different size of infinity and you put them in a set. That set is bigger than the set 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So the number of different sizes of infinity is bigger than the regular old infinity that you're thinking of. So there are uncountably many different sizes of infinity. You can't count the number of different sizes of infinity. So that's kind of cool. There's this really important, I don't know if it's still important. It was very important in the 1890s. It's still unsolved. People aren't really thinking about it anymore. But there's this hypothesis called the continuum hypothesis. And it basically says, you know, we have this one set of infinity. We have this another set of infinity. Is there a set in between that's bigger than the set on the left but smaller than the set on the right? That's called the continuum hypothesis. The continuum hypothesis says the answer is no. The next biggest set in the world is the set that we've written down, but we don't know how to prove that. We don't know that there's not a set that's somewhere in between these two sets. So that's an interesting thing called the continuum hypothesis. Yeah?
So how can you find a set that's bigger than 0, 1 to the infinity?
Say if you find that, you get a Fields medal. Oh, bigger than 0, 1 to the infinity. No Fields medal for that. 0, 1 to the infinity, the set 0, 1 to the infinity is closely related to something called a power set, which I am not going to define, but these are some really hard exercises. And the power set of a set is always bigger than the set. So this is there's this operation where you start with a set and you take its power set. That means you've produced a set that's bigger. Now take the set you produce, take its power set. You produce a set that's bigger. Take its power set, produce a set that's bigger. You can do that forever, so you can always produce a set that is bigger than the set that you started with. And the reason those are actually different sizes is because of Cantor's diagonalization argument. You can use a version of Cantor's diagonalization argument to show that the set you produce by this power set operation is bigger. Yeah, good question. How do you produce a set in the middle of them? That would get you a big medal.
If you can make infinity that's bigger than that one.
Yes.
You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle.
You can make an infinity that is bigger. I see. So if I take the natural numbers and I apply this power set operation that I haven't told you much about, I get that set. So it produces
the power set.
On this thing?
Power set of that.
Mm-hmm. It's actually on the other side of it. It makes a bigger set. So if you take a set and you take this power set thing, it makes something that's bigger.
But the power set of the middle set is
Bigger
than this, but there's also an infinity smaller than that.
So you're saying if there were a middle set, then I could take its power set.
No, she's saying that if you do the power set on the thing on the right,
yeah.
The thing on the right is going to be in the middle.
Oh, I see. That's definitely true. And that is... the question is, if I just fix this set, can I find something that's smaller than this particular set? There are certainly sets that I could find that make this set in the middle. But how do I find something that's in the middle of the set, two sets that I already have up on the board?
So, then how do you make the power set operation?
Ooh, I'm not going to talk about that. But you should definitely, if this is something that interests you, I have some things that you should look up. Maybe there is some time left over, so if people want to hang around, we can sort of talk about the power set. But, yeah.
Yeah, are you, if we do have time left over, I've noticed that there's basically the same number of helpers as there is of problems up there. So if you'd like, we can go to groups and have, like, sort of, if people want to actually work on these problems.
Yeah, that would be fine. Okay. Do you guys want to, we can, like, stop. Yeah, let me finish answering questions, then we'll talk about what we'll do next. Someone have a, you said someone had a question? You have a question?
Yeah, is the set of natural numbers the power set of another infinite set?
The set of, that's a great question. The set of natural numbers is the smallest infinite set.
Thank you.
So,
infinite sets have no end on, never mind.
There is no infinite set that is smaller than the set of natural numbers.
Because we could have the set of real numbers.
Ooh, that's a great question.
And then we would really have an infinite set because there's no real definition. We could just pick anything and it would be on the list, same as that set, 0, 1 to the infinite.
Any infinite set you choose is one of these different sizes of infinity that I'm talking about, yeah. So the first exercise is exactly that point. I use 0, 1 to the infinity because I think binary numbers are cool and it's related. It's actually the same size as the real numbers. That's not terribly hard to prove, but it's not easy.
What?
The first exercise that is on there is we use the set 0, 1 to the infinity because it's kind of nice, right? It's sort of easy to do this diagonalization argument. But you could have instead used the set of all real numbers because the set of all real numbers is the same as the set on the right. So that's that first exercise that's up there. So we have like 25 minutes left. Why don't we end the formal part of this? But if people want to hang around, we do have enough helpers to talk about each one of these four topics. So helpers, do you want to choose a topic number? What do you have to know about it, right? Do any helpers feel qualified to talk about the generalized continuum hypothesis? I can take that one. You take it. No.
I just looked it up on my smartphone. But you probably have gotten
this. No, let's give it to Aaron. Let's give it to Aaron. Aaron's going to talk about the generalized continuum hypothesis. If you're interested in learning about that, go talk to Aaron. The set of all real numbers being... Michelle, which one do you want?
I can have one or two.
Choose. Okay, Michelle's going to talk about number two, so she'll talk about the power set operation, if you want to learn about that. David, you want a number? David is going to talk about Russell's paradox, if you're interested in that. That's a paradox that followed from Cantor's diagonalization argument that made mathematicians mad at Cantor, basically, and made people rethink math. And then I will talk about number one. So come find us if you wanna keep going and talking about these things.
We have one more helper, Sam.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sam. Sam.
I think Sam actually had something you wanted to talk about. No, but that's number two. Okay.
Hey, Sam, do you want number one? I'll just come around between the groups.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
And Frank, we have too many helpers. Do you want David's number? No. Define Russell's paradox? Yeah. You picked it.
No, Frank may be taking.
Should I like keep taping and leave your mic running?
Doesn't matter to me.
Or, okay.
It's up to you.
All right. I mean, I think it's cool to have like a record of cool stuff that you talk about. But I don't
yeah.
Know. Okay. In that case, I'll just
Sounds
good.
Yep.
Okay. I can hang out here too.
Or well, me or Frank. But it
maybe you guys should join.
Yeah. Maybe okay. We'll go. And talk
yeah.
To Frank.
Maybe Frank should come up here. I'll go grab it.
Okay.
The first one. Why is it the same size?
Let's see. If you want to talk about the first one, go find Sam for the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Hey, Frank. Are you talking about Russell's paradox?
I guess I am.
You guys should go join David because they also want to talk about Russell's paradox.
Yeah, I was going to.
help with number one? Is it something you've thought about before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I did this.
Cool.
Wait, I'll show
them. Yeah.
I thought the continuum hypothesis was shown to be independent of the CFC.
It is independent of CFC.
Right. So is it still open?
So, you know, I was reading about this, and that really confused me. I think what it means is independent of ZFC. It's open. So this is something that I thought about and was really confused by. We don't know if it's true or not, but we can't use the axioms of ZFC to prove it.
Right.
That's as much as I know about that statement.
Okay.
You might know more than me. What are you?
No, because when you said like it's open in some sense, so we would have to work in some different system then to even.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I mean,
when I was reading about it, everyone phrased it as this open hypothesis in math, but then everyone also said that it was independent of ZFC set theory.
Okay.
It's a good question, but I mean, it is a question, right? It's open in the sense. Can we construct a set for which this exists? Maybe we have to choose a different axiom system. Yeah, I don't know. When Cantor did this, ZFC wasn't fixed.
That's a fine example.
ZFC was a result of Cantor's diagonalization argument. 1890s?
Okay.
That's when this was proven.
ZFC was in the early 1900s?
Yeah, and the reason ZFC happened is because Cantor contradicted naive set theory. Like, if you just define set theory in sort of the way you expect, Cantor gives you a contradiction.
Okay.
So then that's why ZFC was produced.
Okay, so just to have this straight, when Cantor defined sets,
uh-huh.
Russell's paradox was one of the problems.
Yes.
And then ZFC kind of
fixed it.
That.
Yeah. Okay. And the way they fixed it is by saying you can't just construct things out of nowhere. They have to live in something before you can talk about them.
Okay. And sets are just defined to exist.
Yeah, exactly. So Russell's paradox uses the fact that we can just take a set from thin air, whereas ZFC requires you to sort of start with something and take a subset of that. That's as much as I know about it, at least. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
So let's try to think about
But they do have the same size, right? So notation for size of sets. Is that okay?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Did I derail your question? I'm sorry.
Just the size. And then what
mathematically speaking, we call them the same size.
So they're the same
size.
Even
though one contains the other. And there's more.
Well, there's different things.
Okay.
Yeah, there are elements. So there are elements in Z. So Z contains all of 2Z plus other stuff, but they're still just the same size. So how could you draw arrows between the two to prove that? Yeah, right. So you would just take anything in here and write it to 2 times that. Okay, so that's a perfectly good bijection. So they are the same size. But they're not equal as sets, right? So we've been talking about the size of sets, but not really about like whether the sets are the same.
So,
do you guys get to it?
I'm trying to remember how Russell's paradox went.
I think the easiest way to say it is just this really silly statement.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you said is true.
Take the set of all sets,
the same set,
such that set is not in itself.
Oh, not in itself. Okay.
So, should that set be in the set? So call this set S.
Every single
S is the set of all sets that are not in itself. Is S in S? That's a question mark.
The first really cool thing in math I saw was that here's an infinite set, here's an infinite set, this one.
So it's every set that you can create where a subset of that set is not itself.
Not even a subset. Is it contained in itself?
So we had one.
So this is.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So S should be an S. So if S is not contained in S, then it should be an S because S is not contained in S.
We were wondering.
But we started by saying that it's not contained in S.
You start with zero.
So if S is not contained in S, then it has to be an S. And that's the paradox.
S is contained in S, then it's also not contained in S.
Right, exactly.
So you get contradiction either way.
And this was a problem, and then they came up with this thing called ZFC set theory, which fixes it. The way it fixes it says you can't pull sets out of thin air. You have to start with something that makes sense.
Right, because if you start with that, then you could basically, if it wasn't, if it did contain itself, then you'd just have like
like a continually expanding set, because you could always go down to another level where it would have itself, and like, you just have it like infinitely many levels, and that wouldn't be make sense within the.
So many things can go wrong if you just start pulling sets out of thin air, and that's just a good example. Yeah.
I think it's more the case that. No corresponding. So you're basically saying X.
You didn't have any interest, huh?
No.
That's okay. That one was kind of a pain. Do you know why it's actually a pain?
Yeah, but you can't assume that you can write every sequence.
Oh, I thought maybe that's true too. I was thinking of the fact that the like 0.99999.
Oh, but then, yeah, but then you just show that. Yeah, then you just use Cantor, Schroeder, Bernstein. You just probably you show that it shows that's the most common. That's the most common, right?
Like, oh, you're using fancy like real math.
I mean, right? Don't you just say that? You want to show that? I mean, right? So you say like you show that this is the power set. I mean, bounded above and below. You say that. Well, if you don't identify those two numbers, like it's repeating decimals, then you know it's uncountable. And then you say even if you do identify, it's uncountable.
So if you want to make it easier, you just pull them out. And you pull out a countable number.
Right.
And then you also pull out a countable number of the corresponding elements in the real line.
I mean, it's pretty intuitive that if you bound...
Yeah, certainly.
It's not, I mean, it's very hard to prove, but it's kind of intuitive that if you bound a cardinality of something, left and right.
Yeah, I guess you just like using the squeeze theorem in real life. Yeah. I think that is pretty intuitive. I agree.
And then you don't have to delete it.
Yeah. Delete, that's what I think. That problem is kind of annoying.
But the other thing is it's not obvious that you can write every real number as a binary, in binary.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think... How do you know... I guess how do you know you can really...
Well, for the same reason you can write every... Do you think it's obvious that you can write every number?
No, okay. Because how do you know you only need to count them as slots? So a decimal representation only has counts as slots. How do you know you only count them as slots?
Yeah, I guess the way that I would answer that is just by, like, I can give you an algorithm that does it.
But how do you know that it terminates?
Well, so the algorithm for...
It won't terminate, right? How do you know that could change?
Well, I can give you an algorithm. Let's just think about numbers bigger than one.
Okay.
I can give you an algorithm for producing a binary number. Just by pick the first power of 2 to the whatever that's smaller than that number.
Okay.
That's the first one that you have.
Sure.
And then just figure out what the rest of your numbers are. Any number smaller than 1 is 1 over a number bigger, so you should be able to do the same thing.
Now you're sure that right, so what you're doing is you're constructing a Cauchy sequence. That will converge. You're constructing a sequence of Cauchy sequence. Constructing a Cauchy sequence which will converge to your number.
I think you're being too fancy. Aren't I just using finitely many digits? Why do I need to talk about convergence? Oh, you're doing real numbers now. Sorry. Yeah. I guess I agree. I guess this is more complicated than I thought about.
It's actually extremely complicated to do this right.
Whoops.
So I was just going to skip that.
Yeah, definitely. That was a good call.
I mean, I was going to mention to them that this is not obvious.
Yeah. Cool. I hadn't really thought about that at all. I'm not. I don't think about analysis very often, and that's interesting.
You have to define real numbers as limits of Cauchy sequences in order to expand them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, how do you know that? How do you know this? Otherwise, how do you know that when you do this process you said, how do you know like the first? How do you know when the first 4 digits will be correct? How do you know when the first 5 digits?
Yeah, that's a totally good point. I had not thought about that at all. Glad I didn't take number 1. Yeah. Cool.
I have a bunch of, how do you say there are uncountably many?
Yeah. The number of ordinal numbers. Do you know what an ordinal number is?
Yeah, sure.
They're the same as the number of kinds of infinity. I don't know how that's proved.
But
for every ordinal number, there's exactly at least one kind of infinity has that size.
But to assume that there are... I mean, doesn't that prove they're countably many? Because you have, like, the olives. Like, you have olive 0.
But there are a bunch more ordinal numbers than that. There are uncountably many ordinal numbers. But you're getting in territory I don't know a whole lot about. So there are uncountably many ordinal numbers.
Okay, but can you give me a... Right, fine, but... Can you give me a set that isn't...
Aleph.
The nth power, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't. But that was done for me at some point in topology class. But I don't know one.
There's an infinite set which isn't the Aleph of the number, which is in some power of the natural numbers.
Yeah, there is.
Really?
Yeah. They're bigger... So these size of infinity are only nicely ordered when they're ordered by finite Aleph numbers. But when you get to there's some kind of infinite ordinal, And, okay, here's, I don't know what set this would be, but there's an ordinal number of the natural numbers, right?
Okay, yeah, omega, I think.
Sure. The size of infinity corresponding to omega is not one of the finite Aleph numbers.
Is it Aleph zero?
No. The natural numbers are size Aleph zero.
Yes.
But the natural numbers are themselves an ordinal number.
Okay.
Yes. There's a size of infinity that just does correspond with the Aleph number, with the size natural numbers.
Okay, I'm confused about something. I'll have to look this up.
Yeah, so the point is just that there are Aleph numbers, which I'm doing badly, Aleph zero, right? And you can continue doing that.
Right.
There's also an Aleph number, I don't know what Aleph looks like, but with a subscript of...
I think it's the Hebrew letter, Aleph.
So there's that is not the size that is bigger than the finite Aleph number. But I'm going to go talk to other people. But there is a bigger set.
Oh wow. Okay, that's really cool.
This was just from Wikipedia. I'm not an expert in this
so
by any means.
What does the generalized continuum hypothesis say? Does it say that every
it says if you take the power set of any set, you get a new set, and there's nothing in between any of those, no matter what set
right,
you start with.
Okay, fine.
Wait, isn't the it's proven that you can assume it or not assume it.
Frank or Julia?
I got it.
Can you guys come talk about Russell's
paradox? Yeah, sorry. You guys want to talk about Russell's paradox?
So I defined the set that he constructs.
Yeah.
And then said that you can use this to say that there's not a set of all sets.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's a bunch of, you know, more things about why his paradox is interesting that I don't know.
So what I read about Russell's paradox is just, do you guys understand why it's a paradox that you get there? Like, why something goes wrong? So, let's just pretend if X were in itself. Call this thing S. Suppose that S is in S. That's a problem, because S is not in S. So, S can't be in S, because if S were in S, then S would not be in S. Now suppose S was not in S. That's a problem, because if S is not in S, then it's in S.
Wait, where does the set of all sets come into this thing?
Yeah, I mean, are these little X's supposed to be coming from the set big X?
So this is exactly the problem. So when this happened, when you don't write anything down, you just write down this sort of silly notation, you get this weird contradiction. And then mathematicians realize that set shouldn't come out of thin air. And
there's basically not like a universal set
of
all things that you can just pick from.
So then ZFC is a kind of set theory that they came up with in response to Cantor's argument that basically said you can't pull sets out of thin air. You can't just start with sets, you know, wherever you want. You have to be inside of something that you already know exists. So this is sort of nonsense because...
we haven't specified where these X's are coming from.
Yeah.
Right? They can't be coming from X because we said that they're not in X.
Right.
So, I mean, a big takeaway is that there's not a set of, like, everything that you can just pull from.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Another reason that that is true and interesting is we said this power set operation... for a set A, we can take its power set. We said it's a bigger set. It's the power set is the set of all subsets of A. Okay, so like if we stuck Z in here, then this would be a set. It would have the empty set in it. It would have the set with just one in it. It would have the set with just two in it.
You got it? We
have
the set with two
and three.
One, two,
and three.
How there can't be a number,
because
you have to...
Do you guys do the power set stuff?
I found out that if you take a power set of a number and you do infinite power sets and you do that for the rest of eternity...
That's a bad way.
It's the biggest number.
Don't spend your life doing that.
It's not the biggest number, because you have to do... Because
you can still do the power set of that.
Absolutely.
The power set of eternity...
Absolutely. Yeah. That. So what you've just tried to convince yourself of is maybe you now believe that there are uncountably many different infinities.
Yeah, but how big is that infinity?
That is a great question.
But you can always find one that's bigger.
You can always find one that's bigger.
The amount of the amount of stones and how... there's like an infinite... What is the size of the infinity of infinities?
Oh, that's actually known. So you guys are getting past my knowledge. But there are these things called ordinal numbers, if you want to look them up.
What are they called?
What?
I think a set of all cardinalities is too big to be a set.
Ooh, that's a good point, but let's not talk about that. But yeah.
Same way that you can have a set of all sets.
Yep.
A set of all cardinalities is also too big.
I think.
Imaginary and. How many levels are there and how far up does it go?
Well,
is it just infinite? Or is it?
Well, it's definitely infinite, right? Because. Just because we said that we had Z, and we can power set this, right, and this is real numbers, so this is bigger, this is also 0, 1 to the infinity, it's not actually equal, so I'll squint, right, they're not actually equal sets, so they represent the same, the same size. I could power set this again, let's say I do it twice, bigger than this one. So I can do it, you know.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I keep getting larger and larger.
Thank you.
So that's at least countably.
So
Z and N, we said that they're called countable. So the size of this is called countable.
Brain's not full yet?
Yeah, I'll be here.
The size of a
well, and his poor tutor, emailed his tutor about what they were talking about.
Because
he always talks to his tutor
more
on Wednesdays.
And
last time he came to the Saturday night
circle,
he was like, no, the Riemann theory, theta function.
And his tutor was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let me go look at it.
Yeah.
So Julia said that there are uncountable many.
And Max is a grad student.
So that's something that you should think about.
His tutor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it online?
It's online.
Oh, I was going to say it.
So Julia
online,
said there are
So their lecture's online, the problems are online, but then they have access to an actual person.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, they can talk about what's in the, whatever's in the curriculum and the
other stuff.
Because we're making sure he does everything. So right now
that's good, not to just skip over to the fun stuff.
He's actually in Algebra 2, even though he wants to talk about zeta functions. He's still going to make it to Algebra 2.
That's good. Ooh, one thing that was just pointed out to me, and I don't really know the answer, but I bet, is the set of all sizes of infinity a set? I don't think so. I think it's too big to be a set.
So yeah, usually that's true.
I think that.
Depends on how you define a set.
This is an example.
Right, but I think if you allow that set, you get contradictions, just like in Cantor's.
It might be, but I don't know.
I don't know. Good question.
Well, if it's just uncountable.
Right, but I didn't say what kind of. I don't know what kind of uncountable.
That was the biggest thing when you came last week.
Okay, so you can see...
I think it's a set.
You think it's a set?
Yeah. Set of ordinals, which is the size of the cardinals.
Yeah, I guess the point is just, if there's a set of ordinals,
how much more
are one-on-one correspondence with...
Okay, maybe it's
so cardinals are sizes of sets. Ordinals are sizes of infinites.
But for every ordinal
number,
there is a size of infinity corresponding to that ordinal number.
Yeah. Cardinals.
So...
There's a cardinal number corresponding to that ordinal number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's better.
No, so like 0 is a really silly ordinal number, right? Zero is an ordinal number, the empty set. That corresponds to Aleph 0. And then you get one element set. That corresponds to Aleph 1. Right. Aleph 0 is a cardinal corresponding to the ordinal number 0. It just cares about ordering also.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I looked all this up because I knew this was going to happen.
Ordinal numbers are not that easy to define.
Yeah, I agree.
It took, like, in my set theory course, it took like until like 2/3 of the way to do it.
I just keep thinking that ordinals are notated with omegas. Is that not true?
That is, yeah.
Which,
that's all I know.
For some reason, I think that happens after cardinals. So,
for every ordinal, there is a cardinal.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
cool. That's
how
I know.
It from the desk.
That's okay.
Oh, I think it was the other way around. You can't have the set of all things having a specific cardinality that's bigger than that's at least that. Like, you can't have the set of all like sets that have cardinalities.
I believe that. Yeah, because then you'd have the set of just like you can't have the set of all sets. Yeah. Yeah. It's good popular math.
Yeah.
easy to forget all of that.
Basically, exactly how it's
going. Yeah, when you do really unpopular math.
A lot of parents are really confused by this.
Yeah, I know.
I thought it was really funny.
I don't know, maybe
I think it's really cute to see kids. Like, but this set has, this number has eight more elements in it. It's got to be bigger.
But I saw a lot of parents being like,
I'm still mic'd by
that. I don't understand this. But then the kid would be like, yes, mom. Like this.
Oh, the kid was explaining it? Nice. Yeah, I think this was good. I feel a little bad that I confused so many people. But I guess that was kind of the point.
Hard to accept.
Yeah,
without
but maybe
that, like, knowing what a bijective map is, and
maybe that means it wasn't a great math circle topic.
Well, it's because you're overloading the word size, right?
Yeah,
you're defining the word size to be something. I mean, you can define it size whatever you want.
But this is the right way.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously agree.
So, if the code stops when itself is input,
if you, there's no well, you can't really define it any other way. If you define like then, infinity
so this one,
or countable infinity to be a particular set,
input,
then
one says yes.
You can't do
this
a
program. Stops,
yeah.
Yes. You'd want size to be defined in your set isomorphisms, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, questions?
What are you talking about next month?
I was going to talk about cardinalities.
Nice!
Binary numbers?
Yeah.
Are you really? Because you could.
Yeah.
Cool. You should learn about ordinal numbers. Apparently, you need to learn about ordinal numbers.
No, I'm just going to stick to cards.
But they have to do with ordinal numbers.
I know so little about ordinal numbers.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that'll be cool.
Well, not subself on the code.
Maybe they'll be more willing to accept it.
Well, I mean, now you can do questions like, if you have an uncountable, if you have a, all of one set, if you have like a set with cardinality R, cardinality of R, and you subtract the countable set from it, it's still
uncountable
cardinality R.
Yeah.
Like, use like contrapositive proofs and stuff like that. And then, or like questions, or questions like prove, like stuff like that, or like, is two uncountable sets union together uncountable, or two countable sets union together?
Yeah, that could be fun.
Something like that. But now I don't need to do all this stuff.
Okay, so you're going to assume that everyone's been here?
No.
Yeah, yes. Aaron told me I could build on this.
That. I mean, you can build on it, but you still have to, like, stop. Go over it
so
quickly.
First of all, when you put this
but quickly, you can go over it quickly.
Yeah, I could have spent more time on infinity, but I wanted people to have at least half of the time that they understood things. That's why I did binary numbers first.
I see.
That was my goal.
I thought you were going to do something with the chairs up here.
Me too, that's why I didn't take one.
Oh, no, I was just thought I was going to trip over them. Because they were in, like, they were all over the stage.
Oh, so you just lined them up.
We'll spit out the answer.
Well.
I thought that it does the opposite, so if it's going to
stop. I think they would understand that, like, a line across a line is, like, a plane.
The thing inside not stop self, we'll spit out.
You could definitely get them to understand that.
Not stop self.
Okay.
We'll spit out.
Just pictures. No. Look, like, here's a line, here's another line. The line for each. It's not like you're asking them to think about, like, R4.
When you put in its own code,
then you'll be fine.
But no, that's actually good, because every point in the line, you just draw another line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You draw a line on every point.
Yeah.
You get a line.
You could even talk to them about bundles while you're at it.
Yeah, we should say yes.
Just kidding.
So this is wrong. Okay, so in this case,
vector bundles. Configuration spaces of robots.
It will give the wrong answer. So it's not.
That'll be cool.
So it's line, right?
On graphs.
Isn't doing what it's supposed to. But on the other hand, what if it doesn't stop?
Yeah, I remember you did a lot of stuff with that.
I did an undergrad.
So
we
can't
talk
about it.
So it can't
stop. Yeah,
that'll be a good topic.
I think he was also doing, like, how, like, improving, like, chasing algorithms. Like, if you have one robot, it's another robot.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Like, what's the best way to find another robot and stuff?
I don't know about that, but he has a joint paper with someone who was at Emory.
Somebody looked it up.
Robot things. We do have these rivers and these graphs.
No. So,
and
in other words,
what do the graphs have to
do? They're indexed by the
configuration space to be manifold.
There's exactly one part
he
for every order.
He pumps out so many papers, that guy.
Was built out of the
yeah.
So yes.
He was a postdoc.
And if you think carefully about what that means,
there's exactly
you
one.
Can prove that.
He pumps out years of papers. Those papers totally unrelated to that. Algebraic topology papers, theory papers.
Ordinals measure something fine.
PDE. He has, like,
well-known papers. Yeah,
really?
But
yeah,
for,
he
every
that
a
certain PD,
for every ordinal,
he saw, exactly showed that something like a certain PD, the solution to a certain PD,
so
every knot.
Infinite cardinals are one of the ones.
So are you calling something shows something crazy like this? Yeah.
Like ALEP numbers?
He has like his category theory stuff, knot theory stuff, algebra topology stuff, robot stuff. He has this other robot stuff about like you're in a cat zero stage. You have a robot.
So listen, it's not like the set that has the
robot
number of
another robot.
Has cardinal number A left.
Robot
it's just
like,
well,
robot A,
set
robot
empty set.
Yeah.
The map from the ordinal number to the scale
is empty.
So there's like omega plus omega. So there's omega, which is omega zero. There's omega squared, which is omega one.
No, he was actually making pieces.
Okay. So that gets you all omega to a power.
We never actually meet up. So busy.
That
power is just working as postdocs.
Yeah.
And
there's
so omega to a power.
He's never there.
Like
half the time he's
power. Omega to the end is the ALF energy.
You're talking about the size.
He very rarely
just saying
teaches.
He
does
teach.
But
the point is that the mapping isn't what... You're trying to identify the ordinal numbers with the cardinal number.
Anyways, that's what
you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that the set that has ordinal number is omega.
I'm just saying there's more than more of one than the other.
I'm saying, I think you're wrong.
I'll show you right now.
No, let's go.
This program
my advisor in undergrad, he did stuff on rhino walks and grass.
So
do you think it's okay if we...
All the pieces of code,
so somehow we ended up
in a list like that.
And
you take all of the possible inputs and good stuff.
Hey, Aaron, I actually have to run.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But have fun.
Yeah, it was great. This was like super awesome. Thank you so much for
your
time.
These papers are fairly beautiful.
Yeah, if you want your... notes to be available, or at least worksheets to be available on the SNCC website along we go and stuff, then we can, just like email them to me and I'll post it up.
Actually, I didn't realize at the time that they were fairly.
I don't know if you want to post the slides, they're on the bottom, but I can also have
pictures that you're reading now.